Shouldn't come as too big of a shock to you that big companies are tracking you online. We've seen a lot of coverage of this, but the extent to which they are gathering data about you might be shocking to you. One writer found that Google was storing every email he had ever sent, including his deleted emails, as well as the histories of every location he'd been to in the last year. This data is worth big money to the companies who collect it, but on January 1st, a landmark data privacy law takes effect in California that advocates hope will tip the balance of power and maybe let consumers claw back some control of their personal info online. The California Consumer Privacy Act gives consumers the right to request a company share the personal information that it has collected and stored on them with the consumer, as well as giving the consumer the right to forbid the company from selling this personal data. But opponents worry that the law is a knee-jerk reaction and would create compliance challenges for companies. With me to discuss this new law is one of its co-authors. Mary Stone Ross is a former president of the Californians for Consumer Privacy, which sponsored the CCPA. On January 1st, she begins her new role as associate director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, a Washington, D.C.-based research center. Mary Stone Ross, thank you so much for being with us.
Kyle, thanks for having me.
So what kind of data are businesses collecting on Californians, and what kinds of businesses are collecting that data?
Well, to start, businesses are collecting all types of information about us. They're collecting our health information. They're collecting biometric information. They're tracking our location. And unfortunately, we don't even know right now how much information is being collected, who's doing it, or exactly what is being collected. This, thankfully, will change tomorrow.
So what, you know, I think there's a sense that if you don't want your data out there, don't put it online. I'm wondering to what extent is this, I mean, you know, there are all those terms of service that you click through and a lot of people don't read. I mean, to what extent is this law safeguarding people against choices that they're making to consume these products that are then collecting their data? And then this law is sort of giving them retroactively, you know, the ability to uncheck that box on the terms of service.
Well, quite frankly, right now, it's really not a choice. For example, one company that's selling a lot of personal information is Solve Media, which is they run a service called ReCAPTCHA, which is a little button you click to say, I am not a robot. And so what they're doing is they're connecting stuff like your IP address or your device ID to the fact that you're a human and not a bot. And so that's not a choice. I have to collect that bot just to complete a transaction online.
So what kinds of rights does the law now give to consumers? I mean, we mentioned one of them, which is that you can request the data that a company might have on you. I guess what kinds of rights would, you know, because it's a lot more than that. And what use is it for people to know what kind of data? I mean, if people want to download this data packet, what are they going to learn from looking at it?
Absolutely. So instead of hiding behind a privacy policy that really protects a company, not inform a consumer, now in plain English, a business will have to state what they collect about you, what they collect about your devices, and what they collect about your children. So, for example, there were stories that a flashlight app was, in fact, tracking your location. It would have to disclose that it was tracking your geographic location. And then the second part of the CCPA is it grants all Californians the right to opt out of the sale of that personal information. So if you don't want your location sold, you can tell them to stop.
How are you going to be able to do that?
So you can go to a business, any business in California or outside of California. The nexus is the California consumer, and say, what do you know about me? And after the business verifies your request, they have to return both the categories of information that they've collected about you as well as the specific pieces of information.
Now, Google or Facebook, I believe, offer, and there's a list of different companies that a lot of people subscribe to where they offer the ability to download your data and see what sorts of files that they have on you. Theoretically, there are companies that are collecting our personal data that already offer us a look at that personal data. Is there any reason to believe that data is somehow incomplete, or have they been sort of complying with this law all along?
No, I mean, we simply don't know. And then using Facebook as an example, Facebook compiles dossiers on people whether or not you have a Facebook account. So the little Facebook share pixel that we see is in fact a tracking pixel. So I think it'll be really interesting for people that don't have Facebook accounts to go to them and say, what do you know about me? And then see what comes back.
With us also is Eric Goldman, who's a professor of law at Santa Clara University, where he specializes in internet law and privacy issues. Mr. Goldman, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So I get the sense that a lot of opponents feel like this law might be a bit of a blunt instrument. Why do you feel this law isn't the right response to concerns about privacy?
Well, so far in this conversation, we've been talking about electronic data capture by internet companies. But the law covers all facets of the California economy, covers hundreds of thousands of businesses, many of whom aren't likely to be doing anything as interesting as pixel tracking, but all of whom are going to have to spend the money in order to build compliance programs with the very detailed requirements of the law.
And just to label that, I believe that the term of the law is that if you're doing more than $25 million worth of business in selling data, I believe that's what it is, and or if you're doing more than half of your business, regardless of the amount, am I getting these details right here, Mr. Goldman? That this sort of sweeps in a lot of different businesses where data is a big part of their business.
No, actually, and it does make a difference. There are three different ways in which businesses might be qualified. One is $25 million in revenue, though that isn't limited to online revenue or data related revenue. It's just $25 million in revenue. That doesn't have to be all in California. Data brokers who get 50% or more of revenues are also governed. That's a pretty small category. And then there's this odd category that basically says any business that collects 50,000 people's individual personal information in a year are also qualified. And that really picks up a lot of small businesses. In a California estimate, they couldn't even figure out how many small businesses were covered. But the estimate included that maybe up to half of the businesses covered will be small businesses.
That, I mean, to be, you know, you're one of the objections. There's a letter that you posted on your blog that talks about many of the different concerns that you had about the implementation. And you talk about the compliance costs with this new law being one of the issues. I think that if businesses are doing business with your data, compliance costs might rub people as like a bit of a small objection in comparison to the idea that information about their life is being sold. Why is it that we should take a second thought about maybe dismissing that concern when it's our personal information that's being sold?
Well, again, the law applies to all businesses, whether they're selling the data or not. It applies to anyone that meets those three thresholds we described. And again, Google and Facebook are the focus of the law, and they make money. We're not worried about them spending a little bit of money to comply with the law. But when the law reaches, say, Joe's Pizzeria down the street that might meet the thresholds, they're not really transacting in our data, and yet we still are going to have to incur all the same compliance costs. The California state, the regulators did an estimate or had a consultancy do an estimate, said that 1.8% of the California state gross product was spent on CCPA compliance. So all of us basically spent 2 cents of every dollar last year supporting this law. I query whether or not we got good value for that.
Mary Stone Ross is the co-author of the California Consumer Privacy Act, which takes effect in just a day here. Mary Stone Ross, I'm wondering if you can sort of respond to that idea. I mean, one of the concerns also is around compliance is who's going to be enforcing these provisions of this law? Is there going to be the regulation that in place to make sure that this law is complied with? We've got about a minute left.
Sure. First of all, the law purposefully applies to both online and offline information collection because there is so much information that's being collected on us, even as we walk around brick and mortar stores. And so in order for the law to be truly effective, it needed to cover that information. Secondly, it's the Attorney General who will be the primary enforcer of the CCPA. I'm a little bit nervous that they don't have the resources in place to enforce the law, but we, of course, will see starting tomorrow.
Yeah, as this new California Consumer Privacy Act takes effect, I want to thank our two guests, Mary Stone Ross, the co-author of the new law, the former president of Californians for Consumer Privacy. Ms. Ross, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Eric Goldman, professor of law at Santa Clara University, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Discussing the new California Consumer Privacy Act, which takes effect on January 1st. It will give consumers a right to access a whole ream of data from any company that is collecting it, or from some companies that meet qualifying conditions that are collecting it. They would also have the option to opt out of this data collection, although if they opted out, the law says that a company could charge them more for the expense of using their service. One of the topics that we are discussing here today on Air Talk. Coming up in just a moment, we're talking about a silver tsunami. We'll explain in just a moment.